Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Booker T and the MGs bringing us back. Time is Tight. Name of that song, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Please check out my website when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there. We'll help you with your small business. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 11 years now. And he's the publisher and the cost accountant and the writer and the CEO over at Mullings.com, the thrice weekly cyber column that he produces that I think you, if you haven't subscribed yet, I think you should because you'll like it. Hey, Rich, let's take policy off the table. Let's take patriotism off the table. Let's take nationalism. Let's take all those isms off the table and just talk about politics for a second. Mm-hmm. And you've heard me say this before, and I think you probably agree with me. You, the Republican, will probably agree with me when I say that in the Olympic blood sport of politics, Democrats are better than Republicans.
They are. There's no question about it. And
why
they
is
are
that?
Unabashedly better at it than we are, and we sit there and we kind of marvel at how they get away with this stuff, and we can't figure out how they do it. And why we can't.
What's the answer? What's the explanation?
Let me give you an example. Anytime any Republican says anything stupid, like Murdoch or Aiken,
yeah,
the Democrats immediately demand that every Republican, that ever lived, that they dig people up out of the grave.
Right.
To demand that they answer for that. And Republicans never quite figure out to make the Democrats do the same thing. So the net result is that Todd Aiken, whether you agree with him or
yep.
not, I mean, politically,
mm-hmm.
he was just
yep.
stupid, that Todd Aiken gets hung around every Republican running for every office.
And then Murdoch popped up and renewed that thing.
And started the whole thing all over again. These guys are professional politicians. They should. I mean, they got to know better. And as I wrote in my column for this morning, over the last two cycles, we have nominated four people for the U.S. Senate: Delaware, Nevada, and this cycle, Missouri, and Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
All of those were eminently winnable seats. We should have won all four of those.
Right.
We lost all four. And when we come back on January 3rd, if the Senate is 53-47 for the Democrats, you take away four seats from them and give them to us, and guess what? We own
right.
the Senate 51-49.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And I agree with that. And that's the Republicans shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I.
Also with some help, because the mainstream media holds the gun with them. And so,
they hold the gun and they load the bullets and all the rest of that metaphor. But you know my feeling about this. That is again Republicans' fault. We
mm-hmm.
you just have to know that that's the situation, and we have won even though that's been the situation.
So you're saying that Republicans have not come up with a way to counter. And see what you're saying though is you're saying in the second debate Romney was standing between Candy Crowley and Barack Obama when Candy Crowley called fact checked him on the spot, and I almost could see his shoulders slump over as he was thinking, wait a minute, there's one in front of me and one behind me.
Is that what
Republicans have to do? They have to learn how to fight the opposing candidate and the media.
Sure, of course you do. Okay, yeah, absolutely.
How do you do that? Like having
bad reps.
What's the answer?
In that particular instance, my sense is that Romney doubted what he'd been told.
Yeah.
That he doubted me. That he instantaneously he was running through his mind. Maybe those guys were wrong when they were prepping me on this.
Yeah.
Because if he was sure about it, he would have said, "Candy, you're wrong."
I think he was thinking, "I've got a good retort, but I don't know where she's going with after this."
No, I don't. I don't think so. That was going too quickly. I think he had a moment of doubt that he.
And who
would?
And
right
who
stuff.
Wouldn't have? Right.
Well, no, I'm not saying that I would have or you would have any of us would have done any different.
Right.
But I think that's what happened there. And over the course of the campaign, I mean, both sides of, I mean, now we don't call it a misstep, we don't call it a misinterpretation. Now everything's a lie,
right?
Which is part of the problem. But
What about what is all right? So let's leave the media aside, and from what I saw, the youth vote, the percentage of the electorate of the in the youth category is up. The percentage of electorate of minorities is up. The number of whites as a percentage of electorate, white Americans are down.
Right.
That is a paradigm shift that we saw in front of our very eyes yesterday.
And again,
how do we deal with it? How do Republicans deal with it?
And Republicans have to develop a message that sounds inclusive, as opposed to trying to scare whites into voting. You go back and look at some of the stuff these guys were saying about immigration. I mean, as a grown up, no kidding around, senior citizen Jewish guy, some of those things still make my skin crawl. I mean, that sounds dangerously familiar from 70 or 80 years ago. And I think, and you know, if I were a Latino, I would say, I don't know who the hell these guys are.
Yeah.
They do not have my best interest at heart. I'm going to go with somebody who might.
Yeah. No, I agree, and it's so strong that it caused many people to literally, I believe this, vote against their own pocketbook.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because
I predicted. I said people would not vote against their pocketbook, but they did.
You can fix your pocketbook. You can't fix it if somebody comes knocking on your door and hauls you off to some camp.
Yeah. Very interesting. Folks, this is an illuminating election, the most illuminating election in my lifetime. I think there's a sea change that we can see in the poll results, in the election results this year, and I think it's instructive for everyone, Republicans, Democrats, and everyone, and America decided, and we know the results now. We're going to come right back after these messages. When we do, I want to talk a little bit more about what the GOP can do to turn this around for that party, because we do need two strong parties. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.